Shabbat Shalom. When someone sneezes, I immediately say, "Bless you," without even thinking about it. And I know I'm not the only one. This response is pure reflex, based more in social conditioning than in how we may feel toward the person who sneezed, if we even know them at all. Various unprovable stories seek to explain this practice, and although they differ in the details, the common thread is the desire to offer someone protection, to offer them blessing. And so I wonder, if we did stop to think before offering this blessing, minor as it may seem, would we go through with it? If the sneeze is coming from someone we care about, the answer is easy. If it's someone we don't know, I wonder, would we pause? And what if the person who sneezes is someone we do not love or even like? What if they are a person we feel threatened by or who challenges us to our core? Someone for whom we would sooner offer a malediction than a benediction. This is the case that emerges in our Torah reading this week, Parashat Balak. Israel is encamped in the steppes of Moab, overlooking the land of Canaan from the eastern side of the Jordan River. At long last, the promised land is in sight. But the remainder of the journey is not without its obstacles. After Israel defeats and devastates the Canaanites, the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, the local Moabites are fearful and suspicious of the Israelites camped nearby. The king of Moab has seen Israel's military might and decides to try a different approach to hinder them. He goes to Bilam, a Moabite soothsayer, and calls upon him to curse the Israelites, hoping in this way to foil Israel's progress. Bilam sets out equipped with the best curses in his toolbox, only to find that he is unable to utter them. It's clear from the outset that Israel is his enemy. There is no nuance in this dynamic. But while he is on the road, Bilam has an encounter with God and is unable to continue on his mission of hatred. He departs his verbal and proverbial warpath. When Bilam finally meets the Israelites in person, those people he had wished ill, his curses are transformed into blessings. In this intense time of polarization, where disagreement, dispute, and tribalism are sometimes treated as virtues, how can we bless someone we're more inclined to curse? In other words, how do we find ways to be decent to people in the other camp, whatever camp that may be? How do we honor the humanity in people who challenge us at the deepest level? And why should we? Let's tackle this second question first. Why should we offer blessing to those we oppose? A simple answer comes from the book of Leviticus. Ve'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. Love your neighbor as yourself. But nothing is simple. It never has been. In the Talmud, the rabbis ask, what is Judaism's most important teaching? And Rabbi Akiva answers, "Love your neighbor as yourself." But Shimon ben Azai disagrees. For him, the most important teaching of the Torah is that human beings are created in the image of God. Rabbi Art Green explains Ben Azai's objection in the following way. He asks, "How can I be commanded to love someone? Suppose my neighbors act toward me in some vile and hateful way. What if a person subverts the laws of God? What if a person steals, lies, or murders? Must I be expected to love them?" Ben Azai says, no, love is not the fundamental principle of Torah. You are not required to love them, but you must remember that they are human beings created in the image of God. Treat them as such even if you can't love them. For human decency should not depend on our ability to muster a feeling of love for each other. Ben Azai's lesson is a powerful one. Sometimes love is just too much to ask. Sometimes it is impossible to muster love for a person who offends us. But it is critical that we treat them as human beings, not just for their sake, but for the sake of our own humanity. For when we diminish the humanity of another person, we put our own at risk. Psalm 122 contains a prayer that says, "Lema'an achai v're'ai, for the sake of my kin and my neighbors, I pray for your well-being. For the sake of the house of God, I seek good for you." All humankind is implicated when one person is debased. And so the psalm teaches us that seeking good for one person is good for all of us. And so, like Bil'am, we would do well to let our curses give way to blessing. But now to the first and perhaps more difficult question. How do we do this? As we say in Hebrew, le'at le'at, go slow, don't rush. Take it one step at a time. The first step may not be an action at all, but refraining from action. As our tradition teaches, the most powerful counterpoint or corrective to love your neighbor as yourself is this teaching from Hillel. Do not do unto others that which is hateful to you. So if we are stymied, if we don't know how to be kind or respectful to an individual, we can at least refrain from being cruel or hurtful. Sometimes inaction is a powerful action in its own right. And if we reach that milepost, but we are not yet able to wish someone well outwardly, we can speak first to ourselves. I'm reminded of a prayer by musician Alana Arian, a meditation on the priestly blessing. Her version goes like this. May I be safe, may I be free, may I find space, space to just be. Kein yehi ratzon, may I find my way back home. In the second verse, she replaces I with you, and in the third verse, with we. And with each verse, Ilana offers a kavanah, a framing intention. She begins by saying, "We call to mind someone who has been good to us, a teacher, a friend, someone who brings a smile when you think of them. We open up our hearts and we offer them this blessing." Then, when it is time to sing, "May you be safe, may you be free," and so on, she offers this powerful kavanah. "We call to mind someone who is difficult to us, someone who is a challenge, someone we don't understand. We open up our hearts and we try to offer them this blessing." The wisdom in these words is deep and abiding. We begin by reflecting on those whom we love, have warm feelings toward, who make us feel safe and cared for. This softens our hearts and opens them just a little wider. We touch base with our own humanity, and only then do we attempt to bless the other. The final stanza speaks of we and us, returning to that which makes us feel connected to others. By doing this after we try to bless a difficult person, we crack open a door for them, an invitation in both directions to see each other's humanity. After all, no one is created with malice or evil or cruelty. Our tradition instructs us to say these words when we wake up each day. Elohai, nishama shenatata bi tehora hi. O God, the soul that you have given me is pure. If we begin as pure and good, surely we can return to this state. If only our fellow human beings make space for us, and we make space for them. May we be safe. May we be free. May we find space. Space to just be. Kein Yehi Ratzon, and bless you.